Good day, everyone. Welcome to the CSU Relentless Gardener podcast. I am Colorado State University horticultural specialist Linda Langelo, and joining me today is Luann Aiken, garden ambassador of Tagawa Gardens. Now, let's get to the heart of it, where we explore the horticultural topic of my book, Plants Are Speaking, Are You Listening? Hello, Luann.
Hello, hello, and I'm so glad that you're letting me turn the tables and I get to be the guest interviewer.
Oh boy.
You are the guest interviewee, but not so much a guest because this is your gig. This is your show. I'll be respectful.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad you're curious and asking, and I'm glad you're reading some of the things in my book and want further explanation. That's always good.
That's great. Well, the book, as you say, is Plants Are Speaking, Are You Listening? And one of the first things that really jumped out to me was the whole notion that you have learned to listen to your plants, to learn to trust your plants. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, I had a very good mentor that saw this gift within me. And she had me start with paying attention to my intuition. And that's key for all of life, not just for your plants. And she would say, watch what you're attracted to. And don't dismiss that, because that's a plant that needs to be in your garden for, you know, maybe a season and maybe a lifetime, but it needs to be in your garden. It's going to harmonize well with other plants. And as I've gone and designed gardens, I have had to sort of place things for a day or two and just kind of wait it to get permission, if you will, to actually put something in that particular place. Like there was one time I was laying gravel and it was layers of gravel. And initially I was told, yes, put the white gravel on the bottom, put a sprinkling of reddish stone and then green. And in being halfway through that, putting the smattering of red gravel, I was told, stop, just wait. And they wanted something changed. They wanted something different. So these nature spirits and the angels know the bigger picture of how the energy is going to fill in and work well in that particular space that you're working with. And that may be a new concept for other people, but it's not for me. And life is about energy. And we can glean energy from these plants. It's an exchange. We live in an electromagnetic universe. And having a favorite plant nearby helps to focus us, helps us heal in some particular way that we need healing. Like I said before, on that day, during that week, or for however long that plant is there.
One of the quotes in your book talks about an Albert Einstein saying he recognized the fundamental truth that proved that energy is never destroyed, it merely changes form. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. It doesn't disappear. You know, I was always taught by my mentor that if a plant dies, and people ask this all the time, can I plant that same sunflower or that same coreopsis or that same tree in that spot? And I just sort of stand back and try to give them an answer of a yes or a no. Why? Because there are fragments. There's an imprint left there by that plant. It's not necessarily all about the soil. Okay. What goes in that same spot is going to embrace and share that energy. Okay. So it's not always going to be harmonious. It's not going to work well. And the whole aim of doing this is making the garden harmonious, because that will raise your vibration, that will raise the vibration of every garden. And in order for us to raise our vibration, we have what I call clarity of mind. If you're
okay.
depressed, if you're constantly saddened, or there's something else very emotional going on in your life and you can't get out of that, these plants can help you do that. They can help calm you. They can help ground you. And when that happens, they're clearing away some of this negativity so that you can raise your vibrations. And you get, the higher you go, the clearer the thoughts are, because you're on a different level. It's like tuning into a radio station, you know, and each one is a different frequency. So if you go higher in frequency, you A, get healthier, and B, you get clearer thoughts, and you connect easier with your intuition. It's not all about your mind, your brain constantly thinking. It's about shutting that down and connecting into the awareness of the energy around you. And how many people really do that?
It sounds like you're saying that not only are the plants talking to us, they are sensing us. Is that right?
Absolutely. Sensing and seeing and knowing. And the plants have so much wisdom to give us. You know, I say this in one of my YouTube videos. Plants are the light. We are the light. Animals are the light. You know, it's divine light. And we think somehow we're separated from that light. And so go in nature. We are all a part of the same global family as these plants. You know, we exchange energy with each other. Walk by a person, you exchange energy with a person. Your pets help you with energy. True story. I took care of somebody who was very ill for many years. And Sparky, one of my cats, would lay across her chest over her heart. And he would do that for 20 minutes at a time. And then he would insist that I open the front door and let him outside. So I'd watch him do this. I'd let him out, watch him on the front stoop, and he would shake off all the energy that he picked up. And the energy was an orange-brown color, which is toxic. And this person died of congestive heart failure. So he was helping to sustain her life.
That reminds me of a time I did a story back in my TV days where I went to a nursing home and they had a therapy dog. And this little dog would go and lay on the beds of people who were in their last days and hours. And then the dog, after that person passed, would have to have a little bit of a sabbatical because of all the energy that had transpired between them. And he would get depressed. And so
animals, yeah, as plants, and the same with us, we process energy. We don't understand it as much because, again, you have to be really connected to your intuition all the time. You can't have these random thoughts and, you know, things that I'm worried about. Can I pay this bill? Or am I going to be late to this appointment? Or whatever. You know, they are always connected. And they know what's coming because they know the energy coming in the bigger picture of everything, because there's always a bigger picture.
In your garden, can you give an example of when you knew there was a bigger picture, when something in a specific area or a specific plant was struggling? Is that the right word?
Yes. Yeah, I can. There's several examples. You know, bad timing, the wrong place for it. And it just didn't belong there, period, even though I wanted it. And so I just said, okay, fine. You know, I mean, it could be in a container if it was a perennial or an annual, but it couldn't be there. I didn't need that plant. And the more I've done this, the less that happens.
Because you're learning?
Because I get a picture in my head.
Okay.
I can walk onto somebody's landscape and say, oh, you need an elm here, and you need this there, and you need da 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 da, and that's the picture I get. And I have, you know, been on the phone with people sometimes. This was back east when I've done this for, you know, my own consulting, and they asked me, you know, we have this vegetable garden. This one particular example comes up. And she says, I know I need something in the corners of my huge, this is a huge fenced in vegetable garden. And the first thing I said to her before she was even finished talking, I said, you need ornamental grasses. And she hesitated and she said, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about that.
Okay.
So,
and when you go ahead.
So I tell people, you know, your very first hunch, that's it, go with it.
When that client said she needed something in the corners of her vegetable garden, this fenced in area, mm-hmm. was she asking in terms of a design need, or was she sensing into the kind of energy that you're talking about?
Sensing into the kind of energy that I was talking about, and she got it. She as soon as I said it, you know, she got it.
What is your take on companion planting, which the scientists will tell you it doesn't have any science-based analysis, but a whole lot of gardeners will say that it nevertheless works, companion planting, planting plants that benefit each other, a kind of symbiotic relationship?
It absolutely does benefit. And there are information there. There are chemicals, okay, that they share, and how much more science or scientific can you get? Absolutely. And you know, there are others that don't play well with each other and don't need to be near each other,
and that's energy based as well as chemical based.
Yes, that can be. Yes, that can be, depends.
So you
good.
I was going to say, you use the term right plant, right place, which is certainly a direct echo of the plant select operation, the organization that involves very much CSU, Denver Botanic Gardens, and some other green industry people. So that phrase, 100% from what I'm reading, reflects exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. And you know, you can't, well, a lot of people like a plant and they don't marry it well with soil or anything else. But sometimes they don't stop and go back to the fact, if you walk in a nursery and just quietly ask, what should I purchase today? You know, in the terms of, let's say, a tree, and see what pops up for them. And then look back at the soil and everything in terms of that. And I'll bet you it matches without even doing any of the homework.
So as much as I try to refrain from impulse buying, you should say I should follow my impulses more.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you...
Within the budget.
It, well, yeah, we're all like that, plant nerds, you know, but if yeah. you really, really keep going back to the same plant over and over, so there are people that have maybe five or six really favorite plants, and they belong with you. You know, it's the right energy for you to help harmonize you, to help harmonize your garden.
There is so much traditional Native American view of the world in your approach to gardening. Explain more of that, please.
Oh boy. Well, I've always been a spiritual person, and I have, you know, I had a Native American mentor who was way more than that. I mean, she was an herbologist and she was an animal communicator, and she saved thousands of animals' lives because vets would call her and say, "I don't understand what's going on with this dog or this cat or whatever." And she said, "Well, the dog says that it's something in the stomach or it's in the liver, whatever." And they would be like, "Wow," you know, and they'd do an adjustment or they'd do and take a closer look at that, and they'd find the issue when they've gone through everything else methodically and say, "I can't figure this out."
You also mentioned something that's close to my heart, and that's the whole concept of the soil being a living organism, which it clearly is, but a lot of people seem to focus, a lot of gardeners seem to focus on what do I feed my plant rather than how do I nurture my soil?
That's, you know, again, the energy of the soil, and will help you marry that plant to the right place. Seriously.
Native peoples have recognized for, you know, eons.
Right. And the thing that I was always taught, ask permission of the plant, of the animal, ask permission. You're going to get an answer. They're here to serve. I come back to this and I say, they are the light. You know, we're all light beings. And I say that in my book, we're all light beings. We're just here in different forms. And we're part of a bigger picture, a bigger family. And so nature has its rhythms. I was always taught by a landscape architect who we took design at Longwood Gardens. He taught us landscape design. And he said, sit back and just observe around you. And you'll see how plants are different companions in different places, how animals connect with plants. It's an amazing thing, and we're just now really beginning to unlock all of this stuff. And my mentor taught me one thing, which is really cool. When I was first starting out, and she said, go out in the garden and put both hands around a shrub or a perennial or whatever before it rains. And I said, okay, feel the energy. So I took the time to do that. And then she would instruct me, when the storm passes, go back out and feel the energy. Oh my gosh, Luann, it was like a total recharge. The plants were, I don't want to say electrified, but they were charged up again. Their energy was so much better and stronger, and you don't get that out of a hose. And the other day, somebody sent me something from Instagram, and a guy is doing this electro culture, you know, putting a wood post in the ground and copper coiled around it 7 or 8 times, and then copper to the ground so that the electricity from the upper atmosphere can be grounded into the, and he said, plants grow faster and bigger, and that's all well and good, but working with nature is what my book is about. It's about respect. It's about asking permission. You know, maybe we could do that to, you know, help our crops along in certain aspects, or vegetable gardens or something, but all the time is in excess. It's manipulation, if you will.
I can't say I've ever hugged a shrub, but I have been known to hug trees. And I
Well,
think if you can just quiet your mind and just sit with it, just stand with it, I think you, if nothing else, it certainly brings a sense of peace if the tree is healthy and happy and,
You know, I had an experience when I, again, much younger days. It's not in the book, but I do talk about it on my YouTube channel. The Y Oak was a very old oak in Maryland, and I don't remember, it may have reached 400 years. I can't remember. But after visiting the Y Oak, I went on to this zoo, which was in the next neighboring county, and the parking lot had other oaks in it, and you kind of parked a little bit away from the oaks and walked into the zoo. And I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna hug an oak and talk to the oak. So I silenced my mind. I stood there and I said, "Do you know the Y Oak?" And the oak said, "Yes, we do." And I said, "How is that?" And that was one of my very first introductions to, we are all connected. This is part of our consciousness. And so plants are part of our consciousness. We
As are so many other things in nature.
absolutely, absolutely. The bees, the birds, the wild animals, all of it. And they're each here for a specific purpose.
And we have learned and read and seen how for time immemorial, the native peoples have shown that respect that some other people who were not native to this country who came in just can't quite read it the same way or have respect for it in the same way.
Well, here's the thing, I tie it in this way. There are no victims in the world. Energy emanates from you, your thoughts, your actions, and they come back to you. So that is in every aspect of your life.
When's the last time you hugged a tree?
Oh, let's see. Maybe before the winter came here.
Okay. So it is something of a routine for you, seasonally maybe, but
I check in,
that's
I asked my linden. I said, "Tell me what it is that you really do." And the answer was that they took light, not just for photosynthesis and all that. But they pushed it into the ground and into the soil to feed the source of light, as in we are light, throughout the area. And I thought, oh my gosh. So they are like tuning forks for the world.
regardless of what other type of plant that may be
Right. And
that
they
they
have
share
no,
the area with.
yeah, they have no. And we think about competition and we think about who's number one, and we think about boundaries and territories, and they don't think that way. They don't even know, they don't even go there. It's like they help each other, and we're finding that out, through nerve impulses with the fungus. And from root to tree, and the mother plant senses when her seedlings and saplings need help, and extra energy goes out to her saplings, and so forth and so on. And so it's this big, great community. And it's like, I say in it, well, this hasn't come out yet, but heaven on earth, what is the goal? The goal is to harmonize with each other. And to have respectful relationships and to really bring love into the world. And that is an energy that is so opposite the fear and the chaos and everything else that's going on. So wouldn't you rather do that than, but you're so used to that energy, it takes time because you're comfortable with it, to change that around.
So what do you say to people who might hear this and say, I just don't get it? How, you know, help me get it. I don't get it.
Sit with it. Sit with it and think about the next time you're walking down the street, and you say you're just out with a friend. And the friend says, you know, I really want to go in that store. What's your first impression? I don't really want to go in that store. I don't like the energy. Has that not happened to you? Or
sure.
let's eat at this restaurant today. And your friend says, no, I don't want to do that. Those are the things and the small ways in which we connect. And we don't give ourselves enough credit, because everybody can do this if they want to, if they want to aspire to their best life. Because if you're not in a positive modality, you're going to miss opportunities.
So you're saying so much of it is just being open, open-minded, open heart.
Yes, open heart. Open heart. And it's a fact that green is the color of healing, and it is connected to our heart chakra.
Which opens up a whole new conversation.
But, I'm sorry. I'm just sort of.
No, not at all.
It's just right along the top. Well, it's a known fact that if you have a plant in your hospital room, or you have a tree outside your window rather than a brick wall or a parking lot, you heal maybe a day or two sooner. And so that's the energy that's feeding into you, whether you're aware of it or not. You know, it goes back to walking by somebody. You know, you're taking up some of their energy, and you're taking it home.
Good, bad, or otherwise, yeah.
You're taking it home with you.
Yeah.
Now, that's maybe a shocking thought, but. And so the things that clear that are, of course, taking a shower every day and all of that stuff, but that can mitigate all of that. Anyway, so those are some of my thoughts.
Yeah, some years back, I would keep a fairly large aquarium, and came upon the notion that people who keep aquariums have lower blood pressure, just
yes.
from being in the presence of the calm.
Yes, exactly. You're just by walking every day, you are calming, because you're focusing and you're not giving in to all the chatter in your head, which is revving you up so tightly that, you know, the stress level, you know, and you're out there amongst all the green trees. You know, people come out to walk on tree-lined streets. Why? Because it's safer. Okay. They interact with each other because they feel safer, you know, and tree-lined streets that aren't, that there are no tree-lined streets in like some of our cities. How do you think their stress level is?
Right. Closing thoughts about your book, your philosophy, your mission to help spread the world as you see it, gardens as you see them.
I just would like people to recognize the energy around them and the energy within them, and know that honestly, we're constantly being supported in so many ways, and we're not separate. We are all part of the light, and this is our global family. So, you know, I want them to be able to feel the peace and feel the harmony, not just for 5 minutes when they're meditating, but long after that. And then they'll slowly start to see change in their lives for the better. And we don't need to be this harried society that goes from one chaotic situation to the next.
So have the courage to be open to try something new, if indeed this is new for them.
Right. Let me tell you a quick story that I, when I worked back east at this university and I had work orders, and I had gotten this work order, you know, it was right before lunch and it had to be in there within like 20 minutes. And I'm going, oh, good grief, because normally the people would sign off on this. And there were three people that had to sign off on this. Two of them were at the administration building all the way across campus, which was going to take me at least 5 minutes to get there. And so I walked out of my office door, which is to the outside. And I stood in that pathway and I just got quiet. And I asked, which way do I go? The physical plant was to the left, the admin building was to the right. And I turned to the left and I said, okay. And so I opened the outer door to the physical plant. Sure enough, there were two of the people that I needed to sign that work order standing in there talking to somebody else. And I walked right in and got them to sign. And then after they signed it, I walked back out and I looked further down the hallway. And here comes the gentleman from the outside wanting to get a car. And I got all three signed and got it back into the physical plant. And it was done. I was like, and that's just one of those instances of taking that moment and just stop thinking and follow your intuition, because it's there. It's your best guide. It's your best compass.
And what do people have to lose by being
absolutely
open?
Nothing. And you know what? There's times when I didn't listen to it, and then you know you say, oh well, that was a big mistake. And you know, you get that moment, and so take it.
The book is Plants Are Speaking, Are You Listening? I hope it does very well, and it's been a great conversation. I appreciate being part of it.
Oh, thanks for talking to me about this. It's been fun.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Luann, and thank you to the audience for listening. Tune in next time when we get to the heart of the matter on another horticultural topic.